Good God Almighty, I hope you'll find your name is power. Your name preview.
It just it brings the energy up just a little bit higher, which is a lot of fun for me walking up here because I like to have some energy while we're up here. So, let me take just a second here because I love that song. That's one of those songs that as we're driving down the road, like, hey, can we play that Good God Almighty song? Or Judah will just like start belting it out. And so when you start getting those connections to it, it takes a little bit of time to kind of move on from the song. So I'm moving on just a little bit, but not real far, because we're actually going to take some time this morning and we're going to dive into just what that song is all about. We began last week in a short conversation about how valuable music is, how important music is to our lives. You know, it connects us to memories, it connects us to emotions. We talked about all of that. You can read study after study about how music just bring something out of people that you can't find in other ways. You get a person who is the most mellow, calm person that you come across 9 times out of 10, and you put them in a mosh pit of their favorite band, mosh pit being that spot right in front of the platform where all rules are off and you get to do basically whatever you want. And that same calm person all of a sudden just transforms into this wild maniac. I've seen it happen. This wild maniac of a person. Or maybe you don't go quite that far. Maybe for you it's just the, you know, in this setting I'm real reserved, but man, when I get to go and hear the fill in the blank for like that favorite band that you had when you were growing up, whatever generation that might be for you, whoever that might be for you, man, when we sing that, or when I go to that concert, there's just something different. I can't help but sing out loud because the music just starts flowing through me. You get in a sanctuary like this, in a group of people like this, and there are certain songs we know that just connect in different ways. Maybe it's because there was a time in your life when you were really struggling, and that one song was sung in church way back in the day, or that one song was sung at church camp way back in the day, and all of a sudden, like every time you hear that song, it almost brings tears to your eyes because you remember what was going on in that moment. Or you're like many of the students that I've gotten to work with over the years, and you've gotten to go to international youth conventions or camps or whatever it is, and they have those, you know, 2 or 3 songs that they just do a couple of times every time you're together, and every time it goes on, you look around and you just see thousands of students or hundreds of students just at the top of their lungs jumping up and down or singing or whatever it may be. And every time you hear that song, you sit there and you go, man, I wish it was like that when we did that in our church back home. When we do it back home, well, people don't move as much. I remember being at an international youth convention a few years ago, and I'll move on after this, but it was actually When We All Get to Heaven was the song. Atlanta Story, who's a group from up north here in Indiana, Church of God, a couple of sisters in the Church of God, they come out and they're doing When We All Get to Heaven, and I kid you not, the floor underneath us was kind of doing this because of the energy that people were using while they sang it. And then you should have felt it when Chris Tomlin went into one of his celebration songs. There were several of us leaders that were actually starting to wonder if maybe it was safe to keep singing that song because the floor was just vibrating so much. The energy level was so high. Music is infectious. But I've also heard many times over the years, for those of you who don't know, I've been a worship leader in the past. I've led worship with our students where I just came from in Casper. I've gotten to lead several times in the main sanctuary while I was there. But then when I was in Tulsa, I was the youth and worship leader. So each and every week, I would lead worship. And I would hear the comments quite a bit of these songs today just don't have any scripture to them. They just don't have any teaching. They just don't have any real to them. They just don't have any doctrine to them. All those things that we used to have behind them, they just don't have anything behind them anymore. And so that became a challenge for me to not just put a song and sing a song during the service that was just a fun, there's really no meat to this song whatsoever. Now, sometimes it's just fun to get up and sing a good, clean song. Something that you can sing wherever you go, and it's important to be able to do that. Other times, it's important to make sure that there's some sort of depth behind this song so that as we are going out and we're singing these words, that people can come along and they actually learn a little bit about what we believe based on the music that we sing. Courtney puts a lot of effort into making sure that there is content to the songs that we sing. Now, that's not to say that every song is going to have a PhD level, you know, doctorate type of a feel to it, because if we're being real, most of us wouldn't want to sing that song anyway, because we wouldn't understand half the words that we were singing. You know, there's a lot of songs that have been written over the years that have words in them that we don't understand what these words even mean, but we sing them because they're in the song on a Sunday morning. But what if we stopped, and instead of just saying there's nothing in this song, or saying there's so much in this song that I'll never understand it, what if we stopped and we looked behind the music, and we discovered what the message was behind the songs that we sing, so that this isn't just we come in here and we, you know, for 20 minutes or so, we regurgitate whatever's coming on the screens up front, and instead we know what it is that we're singing. The songs become a message at that point. That's the purpose of what we're doing over the, you know, last week, this week, the next couple of weeks, is to dive into these songs and see what is the message behind these songs. Why do we sing these songs? It's not to defend the songs. The song is a song. It's to understand why we're doing it. It's the same thing that I would challenge you to do with anything that I say up here. It's the same thing I would challenge you to do whenever you read scripture, is to stop and dig in and see what it's all about so that you can understand it, to take the words that I say to make sure that they're true and they're actually full of what Jesus would teach if he was up here. You know, that's what we're doing with these songs. So this morning, we want to dive into one of those songs that we just sang that can easily come across as one of those songs that's just this, it's just a fun song, you know? It makes you smile, it puts a smile on your face, little kids can kind of learn it. It's a great thing to have in there, but doesn't really have any content to it. We're going to do two things with this song this morning. First, we're going to kind of walk through, here's just the words. We're going to look at what kind of power these words have in them, what kind of truth is behind these words, and then I'm going to have a question for you at the end. And it's a question that I want you to take very seriously, because as we walk in here every single week, and as you go from today until next week when we come back together, it's a question that we need to be answering all of the time, because it's a question that based on our answer is going to greatly affect how we live our lives. So we just sang a song called Good God Almighty that came from a guy named David Crowder, who now goes by the name Crowder. If you go back in the day, he was in the David Crowder band, and then the band fell apart and he became David Crowder, and then apparently that fell apart and now he's just known as Crowder. I don't know what he's going to be known as next, but he's a guy that he was doing international youth conventions back when I was a teenager. So he's got some history. He's got some history with the Church of God, but he's also got some history outside, more I would say outside. He has typically taken the approach of, I don't have a genre of music that I do, but I mix them all together. So you may turn on one of his songs and it's got this really country feel to it. When we do I Saw the Light in here, that sounds a lot like the I Saw the Light that David Crowder does, where he puts a little bit of twang behind it because he's got some big old southern roots going on there. But then he'll also do a song where he'll pull someone like Lecrae or KB or Tadashi, and some of those names are like, what in the, who was that? Those are all rappers. He'll pull these rappers into his songs, and they'll do something together, and they'll compile this gospel sound with this rap sound, and they'll put it all together, and you walk away from it, you're like, Wow, I didn't know that rap and gospel could go together like that, but that was incredible. And so he loves doing these kinds of things, and his reason for that is he wants the music to bring harmony and togetherness. And I know that sounds like real, like, oh, that's very 1970s flowery, everything is peace and love kind of a thing. But he wants us to remember that this is about coming together to worship God. And so in January of 2021, of this year, he released this song, Good God Almighty, with the intention of bringing in harmony together. You'll hear in the song that there's these call and response moments where Cora was leading us on that song this morning, and she'll say the question, tell me, is he good? And our response is, he's good. Tell me, is he God? He's God. He is good God Almighty. There's this call and response back and forth. There's this necessity that we work together, because let me tell you, that song would be really awkward if Cora sang out, tell me, is he good? And that's what you heard right there. That would be a really awkward song. It requires that we come together and that we be together and sing together and worship together on this song. But that's just one little part of it. I want to work through the lyrics here. And I have worked on this. I don't know what this is going to sound like. But I have worked on at least being able to play this song so that I'm not just coming up here and singing a cappella for all of you. If it gets bad enough, I'll get Carson to come back up here and he'll play this part for us. First off, before we jump into the first lyrics, the name of this song itself, Good God Almighty, when you typically hear that phrase, just kind of think through a little bit in the moments that you hear that phrase, you know, Good God Almighty, or Oh God, or My God, or something like, or just God itself, would you say that it is typically sung, or it is simply typically spoken, remembering how good God is? Or is it more like, good God Almighty, I can't believe that quarterback just threw that pass. What kind of idiot is he to think that he could pull that off? Or, oh my God, that really hurt when you stubbed your toe or you slammed it while you were out working on a piece of equipment. What would you say is the more common time that we hear that? First or second? Second? You guys can speak back. It's okay. It's kind of like the song. If you don't respond, it's going to be real weird in here. First or second? Second, yeah, that's typically when we hear it. In fact, if you look it up in the Longman Dictionary, the English Longman Dictionary, that's too long of a name. This is what they say when they come across the words God or Oh My God or Good God Almighty. Their definition is surprised, annoyed, or amused, or to emphasize what you are saying. As in, oh my God, how embarrassing is that? If you look it up in the dictionary, that's what you find for this phrase. So this is one small attempt to reclaim the name of God and how good he is. That's one of the powerful things that this song can do, because now we're out here, and instead of saying, good God Almighty, life is horrible, it's good God Almighty. That's who I'm here to worship. So even with the name of a song, but then we start off the song, and hopefully it sounds something like this. I can't count the times I've called your name some broken nights. And oh, you showed up and patched me up like you do every time I get amnesia. I forget that you keep coming around. There ain't no way you'll ever let me down. So just stop and think about that verse in and of itself. I can't count the times I've called your name some broken night, and all of a sudden, there you were. But how many times, even though we can't count them because there's so many, how many times do we forget them? When you get that phone call from your kid's school that your kid has gotten injured or your kid has gotten in trouble or whatever it may be, when that bad phone call that no parent wants to get comes through, do you sit there and immediately go, God, you are so good, and I'm going to remember how good you are? Or does our first thought go to, God, why are you letting this happen? You know, depending on what the call is, might depend a little bit on where you land on that one. Or what about, you know, when we just forget, period, all the things he's done in the past, because we have this one thing that we've really been desiring for a long time. And we believe that it's something that God wants for us, but it just isn't coming together. For example, we have some friends who live in Fort Collins that we've known for the past decade that they've known that it is God's call on their heart to adopt a little girl from China. And for the past 15, before we met them, so for the past 15 to 20 years, they've been given one no after another after another. They've spent money after dollars after dollars, and it just isn't happening. How many times do we forget in those types of moments all the good things that God has done and all the times that he has been there when we have called out to him? Or is it so easy just to forget that to just sit there and think, he's not here right where I want him right now? Remember what happened with Job in the Old Testament when his entire life fell apart around him. His kids all died, his health failed, he lost all his crops, he lost all his cattle. I mean, a storm came through and blew over his house, for crying out loud. And his wife tells him, just curse God and die. And instead, his response is, God is way too good for me to do that. Is it easier for us to remember how good he is in the hard times, or to get so distracted by all of those other things going on that we totally forget? We get amnesia and we forget about all of those things. Then we move on and we get to the chorus. And I'm not going to sing this as high as David Crowder would. I did that earlier and the band all laughed at me. So Courtney laughed most. But I'm gonna drop this down a little bit. Good God Almighty, I hope you'll find me praising your name no matter what comes, 'cause I know where I'd be without your mercy. So I keep praising your name at the top of my lungs. Stop and think about those words for just a moment. I hope that you'll find me praising your name no matter what comes. Do you mean that when we sing that? No matter what comes my way, I want to be praising his name at the top of my lungs. So there is, if you read through the story of Scripture, not just read a verse here and there, or just, you know, today I'm going to just pick a passage, but if you read through the story of Scripture, you begin to see a theme of what it means for us to be called to worship him and us to remember this. In Genesis 1:27, way back in the beginning of this thing that we call the Bible, we come across this verse that says we were created in the image of God. There we go. We've got it up there. God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. And then Colossians 1:16, it says that all creation, remember that in Genesis 1:27, it said that we were what? Created. And then in Colossians 1:16, it says, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created in him and for him. So anything that's been created, which we saw in Genesis 1:27, is created in him and for him. All creation is meant for God's glory. But then we go even further and we see Jesus in Luke chapter 19 and verse 40, as his followers are making a bunch of racket and people are saying, hey, keep them down. Stop having them make all this noise. You know, keep your people under control. And he says, I tell you this, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Now, I don't think, and I've gone, you know, different spots in my life as to what I've been taught on this and where I've landed on this. I don't think that he meant that literally we're going to see a rock start making a bunch of noise. Now, he might have. He might, because he could. That's definitely something within his grasp of being able to do. But I think what he's trying to get across here is it is so unreasonable for you to think that the people created in the Father's image who have understood that could keep quiet. It is as feasible for people who love me and who follow me and who have realized the power given to them because of me, it is more reasonable for the rocks to make noise than for them to be able to stay quiet. And here's what I take out of that. We should be louder than rocks. We should be able to praise him louder. Now, I know that comes across as we should just always be singing at the top of our lungs like the song says. That's not what I'm trying to get across here. But it's also not what I'm trying to get across here. Isaac Watts, who wrote many of the hymns that several of us have grown up with, some of you more so than me, but I still grew up with hymns, and you know, some of the more famous ones, like I believe is When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, is one of his hymns. He at one point made the statement, because real brief history, we're going to talk more about this at a later date, but real brief history behind Isaac Watts. He actually wrote the songs that he wrote because he didn't like the music in the church that was already there. He wrote it because he didn't like the old people's music. So just let that sink in for a second. The guy who wrote the hymns that we love wrote the hymns using bar tunes for many of them, which older people complained about that style of music being in the church. He wrote it because he didn't like old people music. And then his comment, and this is Isaac Watts, this is not me, his comment to the old people was, if you can't sing while we praise Jesus, then maybe you don't really love Jesus. That's Isaac Watts, that's not Justin Brown. I just want to make that very clear. But if we can't praise him because we don't like something, then maybe that says more about us than it does about the music or about God. I hope you'll find me, regardless of what's going on in life and regardless of what's going on around me, I hope you'll find me praising your name at the top of my lungs. You say your love goes on forever, that your mercy never stops. So Psalm 136, if you read through Psalm 136, every single verse in the entire chapter ends with these words: your love endures forever, which sounds a lot like your love goes on forever. In Romans chapter 8, in verses 38 through 39, Paul writes to the church in Rome, he says, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then going back to Lamentations, which is not a real fun book to read necessarily, but in Lamentations chapter 3, we run across this: the faithful love of the Lord never ends, his mercy never cease. Sounds a lot like those words that we just sang. Your love goes on forever. Your mercy never stops. Mercy being that thing of forgiveness and compassion that is shown towards someone that we actually have the power to harm or punish. I kind of look at it this way. A parent has a lot of power. Maybe not as much as sometimes we think we do, but maybe more than our kids think we do. So somewhere maybe in between those two things. A parent has a lot of power. A parent can cause unthinkable harm and can give down unthinkable punishment. And some of it, not the unthinkable parts, but some of that punishment and some of that harm is absolutely, now the harm being like a spanking, not like a beating type of a thing, is actually the right thing. But what about when there's punishment or harm that could be given, but instead mercy is given instead? Kind of like when a woman was brought before Jesus who was caught in the act of adultery, which at that time meant that you were, like, death was your future. And having every right to pick up a stone and start throwing it at her, instead he saved her life and he showed her mercy. Now later he went to a cross and he gave her grace because he stepped in and he took the punishment for her. But first he gave her mercy when he just made it so she didn't have to receive the punishment that she deserved based on the law. into Simon Peter's house, and this prostitute, this woman of ill repute, comes in and she starts putting fragrance all over his feet. And everyone else is sitting there going, "What are you doing? Why are you allowing this? Do you know who this woman is?" And instead of scolding her and tearing her down like he could have done, according to the law and according to his status, instead showed her mercy and he lifted her up. Your mercies never stop. No matter what it is that you've done, his love and his mercy never stops. And it's never withheld. Like sun in the morning, I know you're gonna be there every day. So what on earth could make me be afraid? Oh, that's just a powerful line right there. Like sun in the morning, I know you're gonna be there. So why would I be afraid? Judah came into our room two nights ago because he was afraid of monsters. But he knew that his parents were in that room, and his parents were going to be there, and his parents were going to take away the reason for his fear. God will be there every single day. Toby Mac recently wrote a song, and Toby Mac's song, it has the lines in it of, "He's never early, but he's never late. Help is on the way." Every single time, in every single circumstance, he's not going to show up before he needs to get there, but he's also not going to show up after he needs to get there. He'll be there right on time. So why should we be afraid? Then there's that little spot, and I won't play it for you. I think I've put you through enough on that one. But praise him in the morning, praise him in the noontime, praise him, is it in the evening or supper time or when the sun goes down? There it is. Praise him in the morning, praise him in the noontime, praise him when the sun goes down. People, that's when we praise him. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. When do we rejoice? When do we pray? When do we give thanks? Also known as the morning, the noon, and the evening. I understand that this isn't the easiest song to sing all the time, and I don't mean lyrically, I don't mean musically or anything like that. I know that for some, it's a difficult rhythm, and I understand all of that. But I also understand that sometimes it's just hard to sing these words because we get so distracted by all the things around us. But here's the question. I told you I had a question for you. Here's the big question. That as we have things like this, and as we're remembering all of these scriptures that back up the song that we're singing, do you believe that he's good? I could read passage after passage after passage that talk about his goodness. But I can't force you to believe that he's good. I can tell you story after story in my life of when he has shown that he is good, but I can't force you to believe that he is good. We could have person after person after person come up here and share their own testimony as how they know that he's good, but we still can't force you to believe that he's good. Do you believe that he's good? If your answer is no to that question, first off, I would just tell you that I get it. It doesn't surprise me that people struggle with this. I mean, one of the biggest questions we hear about God is, if he's so good, then why does he allow all of these bad things to happen? That's a question that a lot of people struggle with. Maybe that's a question that you struggle with, and that's one of those unanswered, I don't have an answer for. I would love to journey to an answer with you as you try and find the answer to that question. To not just sit there and say, you know what, you're just going to have to figure it out on your own, and you're just going to have to come to the realization that he's good. I would love to journey down that with you. Maybe you don't think he's good because you've seen the people who say that they love him and who follow him, and they don't always do good things. And all of us in this room who do follow him and do love him and do believe that he's good hopefully can admit that we haven't always done good things. And we may be part of the reason that somebody struggles with this. That's not to put a guilt trip on you. That's just to to remind us that we need to recognize that we're not perfect and that sometimes we can be part of the problem. So are we constantly trying to be part of the solution, or do we just walk around like we don't care? Maybe you don't believe that he's good because you struggle with the Bible. And I would just ask you, if maybe you're struggling with a Bible that isn't really the Bible, maybe you're struggling with bits and pieces of it without taking in the full story of what we find in Scripture, or you're taking in pieces that somebody has taught on that they've taught incorrectly on, or maybe you're struggling with some of those parts of it that are just a little more difficult because they don't lay things out as you just get to do whatever you want in life, and that's not what we hear everywhere else. Do you believe he's good? I know your answer may be no. But I hope and I ask that you would let us journey with you as you discover whether he really is good or not. If you do think that he's good, and the reality is, you have your marching orders. If you think he's good, and if you think he's God, then he's given you instruction as to what it is that you need to be doing. And I'm not talking about the list of rules or anything like that. I'm talking in particular about worship. And I'm talking in particular about praise. And first off, we need to stop making praise about us. Stop making praise about you. This isn't about our desires. This isn't about our preferences. This isn't about really us at all. This is about him and who he is. Sometimes we get so distracted about it being about what he's done for us that we forget that it's actually just about who he is. What he does for us comes out of who he is. So stop making praise about us. Let yourself go. You know, don't let the rocks be louder than you. Now, I don't mean that as in you have to clap and you have to jump and you have to be like those teenage students whose bodies haven't started giving up on them yet, and so you and this floor vibrate and all that kind of stuff. Don't worry. Someday they're going to get to the point that when they jump, their knees hurt, and then they'll understand that part. But also, don't make it to where they feel awkward if that's what they want to do and that's what they feel like they need to do. Let yourself go. I hope that this can be a place that if somebody comes in and they worship a little bit differently than we do, maybe they worship like the young man that I just saw at the Intern Academy retreat a couple of weeks ago who, man, I haven't seen somebody that expressive with their body in worship in a long time. Now, he wasn't like gyrating on the floor and doing the worm or anything like that, but man, he was in it with everything that he had. And he could go into some places and they would just suck that right out of him and teach him that that's not an appropriate way to worship. Let yourself go so that these little kids, when they worship with us, don't feel like they have to put their hands in their pockets. Let yourself go. Realize how much body language matters. Simple things like uncrossing your arms communicate so much to the little kids who are among us that we're not closed off. Let yourself go. I'll bet you that many of us respond differently at a sporting event or when we're in that mosh pit than we do when we're in worship. And I used to tell students all the time, if you're gonna worship more at a concert, then you would worship the God who created everything. Then there might be a time to check a heart at some point. And then join the collective. Join with those who are around you. I understand, and I don't have a problem with, the desire to close our eyes during worship. I'm not one of those who, I did have a professor at one point teach us that, hey, keep your eyes open during worship. If you want to close your eyes, go worship in your car. Well, actually, not in your car while you're driving. That's a bad example. But if you want to close your eyes, go worship in the shower. Go worship at home. But don't shut the people out around you. We come together to worship for a reason. Now, again, I don't go that far. I say if you need to close your eyes because God's working on your heart in that moment, then close your eyes. But don't just shut the people out around you. I would even say there might be somebody nearby you who is worried that they don't have a very good voice. And so they're kind of being timid. And you're being timid because you're worried that you don't have a very good voice. And so I would encourage you, take that voice that you don't think is very good and just use it. I had somebody tell me a long time ago, well, actually I should stop and think. If he told me this, maybe there's something I need to be thinking about this. But anyway, he told me, if you don't think you have a very good voice, well, you know who gave it to you? God. So make him listen to it. And make him listen to it loud. And you never know if it might help encourage that person next to you to be able to just let it go and to join in. So here's what we're going to do to end this off this morning. The band's going to come back up, and we're going to sing through that same song all over again. But I'm going to invite you this morning to praise him at the top of your lungs. And I don't just mean you need to sing as loud as you possibly can. I mean, there is something to a joyful noise as well, not just a racket. But I would encourage you to sing loudly. I'll give you that. I would even encourage you to put your hands together. You know I love that kind of stuff, but you don't have to. I want to invite you to praise him at the top of your lungs this morning. As you can see, we just put a mic here right in front. I want to invite you in a sentence or less. This isn't a 20-minute testimony type of a time. This is a sentence or less to come up to this microphone. If there is just something that pops to the top of your head, is this is when God has shown me his goodness. Now, we've written on the back of the walls how we think God is great, and that was, I love that. I love going back there and reading through those every now and then and just kind of reminding myself of the great things that the ways that he has shown us. It may be something he's done. It may be just something that you've seen as to who he is. I want to invite you to come to this mic, and we're not even going to stop singing. That's where the top of your lungs part comes through. You need to overpower. Now, we'll get a little quieter, but you need to overpower us. And in a sentence or less, let everybody know how great God is. I can see on your faces that some of you are like, there is no way that I'm going to do something like that. I can see on other faces like, shut up so I can get up to that mic right now. I know it's awkward, and I know that, I mean, if everybody did this, we'd be here for quite a while, and I guess that's okay. I mean, if you need to go, you're welcome to go at any time. You're never forced to stay here. But I don't want to shut down anybody either. At the top of our lungs, and you don't have to scream, you don't have to yell. I'm getting way too much detail here. I'm putting too many rules on this. There's no rules. There's a microphone right here. In a sentence or less, because if you go longer than that, Daryl's going to mute you. In a sentence or less, how great is God? And how do you know that he is?